Mr. Greenhoff, 3-1. Where were you born, please?
Brightonfield, near Old Britain, Derbyshire.
Which year was that?
1923.
What did your father do for a living?
Miner.
Did you go to school near Alfreton?
No, I moved away when I was 5 years old.
To where?
Lee, near Matlock.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
Did you get a job?
Yes.
What else?
Butcher's errand lad.
What job were you doing when war broke out?
Still in the butchers.
Did you hear the announcement of war with Germany by Chamberlain?
Yes, I was at Howell Farm with the family. Mother, father, younger brothers and sisters, and listening to the announcement.
How did you react to that? How did you feel about it?
Well, it was expected, but I was, I think, too young to realise the implications of everything.
Were you in any early bombing of Britain by the German Air Force?
No, I lived in the country.
How did you come to be in the army yourself?
Well, I had brothers in the army, and I wanted to join up. I just got that thing, well, I'm going to join up. Because living in the country, you hadn't seen much of the world or mixed with a lot of people. And that just was the opportunity. And I had no trouble in enlisting.
When was that?
40.
Where did you do your training?
Woolsthorpe initially. So, that was the basic drilling with marching up and down the drive that goes from Woolsthorpe to Beaver Castle. That was our parade ground. That was the basic training.
How were you treated?
Very well, with a kindly old Sergeant Major Maisley. I can remember his name. And we were actually in the Beaver stables at Woolsthorpe. That was our bellet. Been back since and it's altered a bit.
This was a young soldiers battalion, was it, that you joined?
Yes, 70th Battalion, Leicestershire.
Did you do any special jobs in Britain before you left for the Far East?
I was a signaller. I trained at Bulbrook Barracks.
What kind of signalling was that?
Just a regimental signaller. 10 words a minute. One thing I do remember, Bulbrook Barracks, 11 o'clock, the young soldiers like myself go down to the cookhouse and we had a hot cocoa made with milk. That was it. Being in barracks and I think we needed it.
When did you go to the Far East?
'42, '43, I think it was. I can't remember the name, isn't it?
Were you still in the 70th Leicesters by then?
No, I transferred to the 70th Leicesters. Man's battalion.
Whilst you were in Britain, what was this job that you had regarding crashed planes?
Well, when the planes crashed, whether it was German or our planes coming back, the same as it is today, a lot of even then souvenir hunters, and it could have been enemy agents. Now we had to move out at the minute's notice onto the site of the crash.
What were you supposed to do when you got there?
Just guard it and see that people did not loot or come near anywhere near it. Usually, though, it was out in the country and there was nobody.
Did you know of any instances of people who looted crashed airplanes?
No. None of us had it. It was just a precautionary measure.
Did you often find dead men in the planes?
Yes.
Did the soldiers ever loot souvenirs?
No. We were all young men, and we're not in that. One thing on those guards was on the railway, near the railways. And we learned that when the train came, we were to rub our hands and to throw lumps of coal out for us.
Especially for the soldiers, you mean?
Yeah, and then we take it back to the side, the huts, the plate layers huts we could probably in. So we could brew up.
Was the 7th Leicesters much different from the 70th?
Oh, yes. Everything was on a more rigorous training. Let's put it this way, we weren't treated as boys anymore.
Can you tell me how you got out to the Far East with the 7th Leicesters, please?
Went on the Cape Town Castle from Liverpool.
What was the journey like?
Well, as we pulled in, I think we had 2 or 3 stops, and the regimental police got out, guarded all the doors in case we wanted to do a bunk. Then we got on straight onto the Cape Town Castle, it was, waiting for us at Liverpool.
Did you run into the enemy on the way?
Well, we didn't see the enemy, but there were submarines because there was depth charges dropped.
What were conditions of life like in the ship?
Well, it was very close living quarters. We were in hammocks, and everything was run by the Navy. Not the Army, the Navy took over. We were on the mess decks, as they call them. We had long tables, sat at forms along them, and at each end of the table was all the utensils. We used to go down to the galley and collect food at meal times.
Were you comfortable?
Oh yes, and when the orderly officer, naval orderly officer, used to come round on inspection in the morning, he used to wear white gloves. He used to run his finger around the utensils. If there's any grease found, we have to take them back and do them again.
Did you stop on the way?
Yes, Freetown. We stood off at Freetown very hot, humid, freeze down. We didn't get off with the water board. And unlimited supplies.
And after Freetown?
Durban. Dr. Durban. After 4 days, I think it was, at Durban. I went ashore every day.
How were you treated there?
Very well, very good. But two things, even then, you were not told not to talk about race, colour, or religion. Keep everything to yourselves. And everywhere you went, it was not really canteen, but places to eat. Everything you had two fried eggs thrown in. Everywhere you went. It was good. We went out surf bathing every morning. Durban. That's when we were. Been on the ship 6 weeks.
Where did you finally end up?
We were docked at Bombay. And then we went aboard Parsonsville, I think it was. It was a cargo ship. Rat infested all over the place. Because with no idea where we were going, of course, everything. Security was very tight. And we finished up at Dr. Karachi. And that was virtually a peacetime station. Civilians there didn't know there was a war on.
Why the delay there? Why were you delayed in Karachi?
We wasn't delayed, we were posted to Karachi. The Navy Barracks. To do duties. Because there was still unrest with the natives. We didn't get much, but still there, we had to be there and keep up the face of the Raj.
What did your own duties involve in regard to civil disobedience? Or enforcing law and order?
Well, just sometimes fix bayonets, and that's all that was necessary. We never fired on them.
Were these mobs or crowds?
More or less crowds.
What were they doing?
Well, it's the same as it is today. They just get one thing against the British and that was it. They still wanted us out even then.
What type of things were they shouting?
Pigs and all the rest of it.
Did they throw us?
The natives were good, you know, they didn't bother.
Did they throw stones, the crowds?
No, not really. They were more vociferous than anything. It was more or less there just to keep the face of the British in view. Because even then it was very touchy.
Was anybody injured in your unit?
No.
But you had to clear the streets, did you?
Yes, but it wasn't really necessary in the end.
Did you do any training in Karachi?
Yes, I went out on the Sin Desert. Very hot. Went out there in a week's training. We was only allowed one bottle of water per day. That's all we was allowed. You heard the old soldiers advise us to drink as much as possible before we went out in the morning and not touch the bottle till you had to. Don't sip it, drink it. Just a waste to sip.
How did you come to be transferred to the Chindits?
It wasn't a transfer. We went as a battalion into Special Force. We didn't know really what it was. It was all quiet.
What did they tell you at first about it?
First, they was going on special training. And we moved out to the central provinces.
How did you all feel about being allocated to Special Forces?
In one word, we were chuffed, as they say.
Why?
Well, that's what we joined up for, wasn't it? Not to be go to a peacetime station.
Where did they take you to? Where did they take you to from Karachi?
Billersburg. In that area, Jansi.
And what happened to you there?
Well, I was under canvas and we was near Ten River Dam. And we did training there with the taking, we'd got mules then. We were taking them across the water. Non-swimmers had to hang on the tails.
Any incidents that happened to you there on the training that you can recount?
I've got this one. I was at Karachi. We used to go out onto the beach where the white people used to go into their huts. Stay the weekend or weeks, and we was allowed there. We were to go there. So many men been in the signalers. We got there quite frequent. And that was, of course, a number kind of thing. You know, we used to swim in the sea with the dolphins. It was a great time. Coming home, there was a program on television where the woman married a Hindu and she took the child over to Karachi from England and she followed him. It showed you them on this beach that we were bathing on at Karachi. It was quite obvious what it was.
But coming back to Bilaspur, when you were training for the Chindits,
yeah.
Were you able to cope with the training?
Yes, I was young and fit. And you had to keep up with the next man all the time. Marching, swimming, firing.
Was there anything unusual in the training apart from the mules?
Yes, columns. You had to form in columns, not the usual threes. Everything was in columns. Marching along in columns. That took some getting used to, I guess. thing. You're not allowed to talk. Least noise as possible. Whatever happened, you've got to keep quiet.
Did Wingate or any other VIPs come and visit you?
Not Wingate, unfortunately. You know, met his death very early. He did visit Division, Wingate. Wingate was a very, some more revered man, I think. Everyone looked up to him. Our column commander, Major Lockett, he was the same as thing he used to wear a topi like Wingate. And he was a Wingate man.
Did you see Wingate yourself?
No. Unfortunately.
Did you feel that the training prepared you properly for what you had to do?
Oh, yes. It had been very well thought out.
Did you have any special weapons that you took into Burma?
Brain guns. That was things and the wireless sets, there's Battalion HQ, the communication was always good.
Were you still a signaller?
Not then, no. Because it was more Royal Corps of Signals at HQ. I was just an infantryman then.
Which company were you in?
D Company.
Who was in charge of that?
I just can't remember who was in charge.
Do you remember which platoon you were in?
I think it was 6th platoon. And it was not so much platoons. They were platoons, but who was encouraged to mix, you know, at off-duty times, not consider yourself. Officers were the same. They mixed with the men.
Can you tell me how you went from Bilaspur into Burma, please?
Went by train into Assam.
What was that like?
Like all Indian train journeys. Every station you had to brew up. You know, everyone had a can, a fruit can. When we stopped, we used to brew up. Always had tea and sugar.
You mean an empty tin of tinned fruit?
Yes. A bit of wire in the handle. That was part of our kit. And every station we had it. Got out and brewed up with the steam from the engine.
Where did the train finish up?
I can't remember the name of the station, but it was very near the airfield.
What happened to you there?
We got in trucks and went out to the landing field.
And what did you find there?
Dakotas, waiting for her.
How many men went into a Dakota? A platoon?
20. saying 20 because I remember we were doing a jump down each side. Not room for that in the kit. You've got all your kit with you.
What was the Dakota flight like?
Bumpy. There's a lot of air pockets out there where the plane goes along and drops suddenly.
Where did you land?
The place codenamed Aberdeen. It was a dirt strip, hastily prepared.
What did it look like? Was there any vegetation?
Well, it was dawn, more or less. Lots of vegetation, yes. And it was like going into the unknown.
So the Dakota got down undamaged?
No. There was very few planes damaged on land. There's plenty of gliders when we get our bearings and see plenty of gliders that are crash landed.
But your Dakota was undamaged?
Yes. I don't think there was any planes damaged, just gliders.
Was there any enemy opposition when you landed at Aberdeen?
No, because there was already a battalion had gone in and established the south at Aberdeen in the fortress.
How did you feel once you got to Aberdeen?
Elated.
Why?
Well, we were doing something that had never been done before. We were, shall we say, pioneers. We'd achieved what some of the higher ups said couldn't be done.
Who was in charge of your group of 20 in the Dakota? A sergeant?
Sergeant.
Do you remember his name?
He was actually in the plane. You were in charge of the RAF stick commander. He takes you, sends you out of the plane. An RAF plane and they're in charge. And you have two sides. And you go out in odd ones kind of things, you know, you don't push and shove. You. It just pushes you behind and you're next kind of thing.